Turn around. Look, it's rock and roll.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, buddies.
Buddy. And with us all the way from California is our good friend, Mr. Sonny Pooney.
Hello, Kiss Army. How's it going?
Oh, man. Good to have you back on.
Oh, good to be back on. Good to be back
now,
on.
Yeah, some of you are wondering where D-Rock is. I told him that I was going to let everybody know that, unfortunately, D-Rock's father passed away this weekend. And he asked that everybody just say a prayer and for him and his family, and I told him that we would all definitely do that. If you want to send him an encouraging message, you can send it to me at podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. That would be cool. We're thinking about him. You know, this is a tough time, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, for anybody. All right, so let's talk about some good stuff. Let's get positive.
Podcast Rock City News.
Peter Criss, man. He did his first final show. Okay. Now, before we get into this, I do want to mention that I watched an interview with him. You know, he's been doing the press circuit out there, right?
Right.
And one interview he did with this girl, and the worst part about it is I can't find it anymore. But what she said, she asked him, she said, so this is your, you know, like your farewell thing. And he said, yeah. He basically alluded to, it's his farewell to solo touring.
Oh, he's going to keep that door open, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so did you see this interview too, or no?
I haven't seen the interview.
Okay. Yeah, he said, it's my farewell, I won't be playing solo anymore. And I thought to myself, there's the door. That leaves the door open, of course. But the other thing was, didn't it feel, when you hear that, doesn't that almost make you go, wait, what? It's supposed to be your farewell. You're done, you know?
It's just like Kiss saying it was a farewell to Peter and Ace. You know, you gotta leave a little room for the future in case you change your mind, you know?
Yeah. What do you think, Sonny?
Didn't I also see something about he was doing, like, bus tours in the city?
Well, he definitely did that in L.A. at the convention, and he's doing it in New York. And our buddy Matt's actually going to be there to do the street tour with Peter Criss and visit, like, the Dress to Kill corner and all the pertinent sites. So I'm so jealous. But, yeah, he's doing that again in New York.
Yeah, I guess better start taking side bets on... Is it the original four or the Motley Crue gets together first? Like, I guess put bets on it. I don't know. I don't see it happening. I mean, I love Eric Singer, and Eric Singer's doing a great job. I just don't see it happening.
I agree. I don't see it happening. So, but he played that show, and I want to go ahead and let's talk about the set list for just a couple of minutes, because I'm only disappointed that one certain song's not on the list. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good. Okay, so they did, so it's I Can't Stop the Rain, right?
It's a weird way to start the show, though.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I love that song, and I would want him to do that one, but not start the show with it.
Yeah, I mean, he should have started with the second song, Hooked on Rock and Roll.
Totally.
Or Strange Ways, which was third.
Oof. I don't think of Strange Ways as a starter, though.
But still, any of them other than I Can't Stop the Rain. Strutter.
That was a kind of a surprise to me that he did Strutter.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Because of the iconic, you know, the... Ding, ding,
ding, ding. Yeah, I guess. don't Let Me Down. Hooligan. Nothing to Lose.
There's your starter. I think they should have started with Nothing to Lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I love that he did Don't You Let Me Down, man. It's awesome. That's one of the ones I would definitely pick for him to do on a solo gig. That's pretty badass.
What's this one, Words?
That's what I don't know. I don't know that song.
Then Beth, then Rock and Roll All Night, then Sing, 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 which was apparently a tribute to Gene Krupa. So, look, you know, this is a nice little set list for Peter Criss. Hard Luck Woman is missing, though.
Totally. And Getaway.
Yeah, Getaway. Yeah, for $250 to get into this show, he did 11 songs. Now, I haven't seen any video, though. I read that he played drums afterwards as well.
That price is steep. I paid $250 once, but it was to see Prince in a club of 800 people in San Francisco. I don't know if I could pay $250 to see Peter Criss.
I'm jealous. I would have loved to see Prince. Yeah. What were the songs that we said are missing? Hard Luck Woman.
Getaway.
Black Diamond.
Yeah. Black Diamond.
Maybe Dirty Livin'.
Oh, Dirty Livin' would have been cool.
It would have been cool.
Yeah.
The other thing, okay, so obviously this is going to come up a little more. Let's wait and see what he does. He's got how many more shows? One?
I don't know.
In New York, I think, is the only other one.
I think he should, like, encore with that old Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, that would be awesome. The band was good, too. His band was good.
Awesome.
Yeah. If you guys get a chance, go online and watch the video. Peter sat out front and sang for the show. You know, it was cool. I didn't think he was bad at all. Let's see. I did see a headline that said that Gene says there's some writing going on. Did you see this?
I did.
Man, he keeps doing that.
I think it was in that interview with Michael, right? Cappuccini?
Yeah.
You hung out with him on the boat, right?
Yeah. We hung out, yeah. Yeah, we did an interview. We hung out and watched some... Oh, man, we hung out for a lot, actually. Yeah, man, he's got it going on. But, yeah, so there's some writing going on. What's that all about, man? I hope he's not BSing, man, you know?
You never can tell with Gene, dude. He's always writing something, you know? Hence, like, a box set with however many hundred songs.
He said before that he writes constantly, you know, stuff like, what was it, Stanley is a parrot or something? Yeah, or
my uncle's a rat.
Like, he's got, that he's got all these songs somewhere.
Yeah, the box set will be kind of interesting. I'm kind of excited about it.
But yeah.
Maybe not some of his 80s throwaways, because if he threw away, you know, these songs in favor of something like Lonely as a Hunter or whatever, I don't know. We'll see.
I wanted to ask you, I saw this thing on Kiss Chikara today, which is an excellent Facebook page if you guys have never checked it out. If you get a chance to check it out, it's really good. And he posted this thing where he said, I know this has been discussed to death, but let's time travel to September 78. The solo albums were never released, and you see this on the record store rack, and you buy it. You run home to listen to it, and what do you think? Here's the set list. Y'all ready?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. This is the record.
This is like the Lost 78 idea, right?
Well, yeah, sort of. So this is side one. Radioactive, Rip It Out, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me, I Can't Stop the Rain, New York Groove, Take Me Away, Together as One. That's side one. Side two, Tonight You Belong to Me, Speeding Back to My Baby, See You Tonight, Man of a Thousand Places, Snowblind, and Goodbye.
Man of a Thousand Places?
It said faces.
Yeah. I thought you said and, places. I was like, huh?
Oh, I don't think I did, but me on my brain. Anyway.
This is Late Joe.
Yeah. Radioactive. That's right. When you get Late Joe, you never know what the fuck's going to come out of my mouth. Anyway. What do you think of that, man? You think that would have worked better for them?
I would do, if they were going to do the Lost 78 idea, like a lot of people have done, I would want it to be like a double record, like a, you know, gatefold, like an Alive, but studio tracks. So you had, you know, two discs. And then you could fit all the best ones from those collection of songs, I guess. We've never done that episode. We got to do that sometime.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That is a great list there. I mean, if you took Man of a Thousand Faces off that, that'd be the best Kiss album I own.
I like Man of a Thousand Faces. It just could have been so much heavier.
Yeah, I agree.
Another story. Another time, though.
Okay, so we'll talk about that another time. But before we go into our topic of the day, I do want to point out that we did get another review on iTunes, and it was by, well, I don't know how to say this, but it looks like it says Be Nasty.
Cool. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
It says 22 Be Nasty 2255. This is 5-star rating. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
It says, I'm a longtime Kiss Army fan, and listening to you guys is my new favorite thing to do at work. It's so entertaining and real as well as informative. Never stop, guys. Thank you very much, Mr. B Nasty. And we read Sonny's last week. It was really good too.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for that, Sonny. And thanks, B Nasty.
No problem.
B Nasty.
Thanks a lot, anyway, man.
All right. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City. Of the week. Yeah!
All right, so we know we're going to get back on the album, talking about albums, and we hadn't done Unmasked. Now, I did Unmasked years ago, and as a matter of fact, I went and looked it up, and coming up this July will be Podcast Rock City's 4th anniversary.
Damn.
And wow. You think about it, my 1-year anniversary, you know who I had on? Jody.
Yep. And Andrew.
Andrew, Jody. I had Adam. I had Ken Mills. I had Chris Sinzak.
Yep.
Remember, I released a show a day.
It was cool.
Yeah. So, if you guys have been on iTunes looking for those, you ain't going to find them. Because there's about probably about 25 or 30 shows that we took off iTunes because we needed to make room.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that if you go to our premium section on podcastrockcity.com, all those shows are starting to show up now.
Cool.
Yeah, so I put about 5 or 6 up so far. So if you want a little extra fun, go there. And I believe I put my Unmasked show. So we're going to talk about Unmasked today.
Yeah. Let's just start off right off the bat with what you had to do to get the damn record. I love that story.
Okay, so basically, I was sitting at home at my grandma's house, and the commercial came on.
That pesky photographer keeps trying to catch Kiss off guard. Ace and Peter are intercepted.
Hey, Kiss, look this way! Nuts!
Then he tracks down Paul at a restaurant.
Come on, shucks! Hey, Gene, over here! Darn!
But Kiss has the last laugh. Kiss Unmasked, the all-new album on Casablanca Records and Fish. Kiss Unmasked. Available at Budget Tapes and Records.
And it was basically acting out, showing the pictures of the album cover and acting it out, and there was people talking, and and then it said Kiss Unmasked, and I was like, uh-oh, I gotta get that. So I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, I need Kiss Unmasked. And my mom and dad got together, and they said, you're gonna get it if you go away to camp. So they packed me up and sent me away for 2 weeks of misery. It was terrible. At this place called, it was Lake Placid, Florida, at the YMCA camp, where all they played was Village People.
Oh.
So this was like, I guess, 80. And I will tell you that in my cabin, though, they played a lot of Ace Frehley's solo album. So I remember that clearly.
Cool.
Dude,
I totally am like picturing you like it's like meatballs and you're at camp.
Yeah, it's true. I will tell you, this is true, okay? I did not shower for 2 weeks.
Damn.
I would just get in the lake and swim around.
Yeah, that's good
because
enough.
Because I was like 10 years old. I walked into the dam. You can't do this anymore. But 10 years old, I walked into the showers. And everybody was naked. There was no walls or shower curtains or anything, you know? I was like, this is the first time I'd even ever been away from home, let alone you're putting me into a shower with 50 other boys. I don't think so. So
at least it wasn't like all the camp counselors and you stumble into that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, if my memory is correct, everybody was in there.
Damn.
And I was just like, yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, so I'll just go swimming. That's pretty clean.
It works, especially when you're a young kid. Fuck it.
Yeah. So anyway, 2 weeks later, I come home and I get the record. My mom and dad took me out. They bought it for me. I don't know how much after I got home, but they did honor their deal. And I love that record. It's, you know, it's definitely, I would say, in my top three. As a Kiss fan, it changes all the time, you know,
right.
but it never drops out. You know, I love it so much, and it means so much to me because of what I had to go through to get it. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to go to camp. I went because I wanted this Kiss record.
So cool. And it was worth it to you.
It was totally worth it. I must have listened to that record 800 times, looking at the pictures and reading them, you know, the comic strip, and it never was weird to me that they said they stink, you know?
No, man. Not weird at all.
It's not weird. When did you guys get it?
So my first set of purchases, so my first music I ever bought with my own money was, I was 15, and I bought Dynasty and Animalize on the same day.
Right.
Then my birthday's in October, so that Christmas, I got Christmas money and went to the same place and bought Unmasked because I had seen it when I was flipping through the records, but I only had a certain amount of money, so I could only buy four things, so I only bought two Kiss things that day, but Christmas money, I bought it. So mine was easy. I just went to the store, bought it, and started listening to it.
Right on.
That's cool.
But it wasn't until early 85 when I got it.
Still, that's a good time.
So what was your initial impression, since you had already kind of been listening to Animalize and, you know, Dynasty?
Yeah. So I liked the hard edge of Animalize, but then I loved Dynasty. And sure enough, something kind of popped out, and so did Magic Touch for me. So when I first heard this, I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. Is the rest of the Kiss stuff like this? And then I went back and started buying stuff and found out, yeah, the rest of it's not like this. But it was good.
Right.
But, yeah, I love Unmasked, and just like Joe said, it's for me, Asylum's 1A and Unmasked is 1B, and it has never left the top two my entire Kiss fandom career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, totally cool.
So your birthday's in October?
Yeah.
What? October what?
14th.
Ooh. 8 days before mine.
Oh.
If you had said the 22nd, I'd have been like, yeah.
But you're a Libra. You made the
cut. I'm a Libra. I did, just barely.
Yeah.
Okay, Jody, you got the record when?
Oh, man. Probably like in about 1983, probably. It was the second Kiss record that I ever got. I think you probably know this, Joe, but maybe some people listening don't. But so I got Dressed to Kill first, and then I just decided, dude, every week when I get my allowance, I'm getting a new Kiss record. You know what I'm saying? And so the next week I go to the record store. I didn't know anything about Kiss, so I was just buying the records based on how cool the covers were. And so for me, I thought that Unmasked was a really cool cover because I like comic books and all that. So that's the one I chose. And, you know, being that it was one of the first ones I ever heard, I still fucking love it. Like, it's way up there in my top records of Kiss too, you know. And I have a total attachment to it because there's a lot of shit, you know, when you're a kid and you get a new record, you play it to death, you know, like just relentless. And it went so far as to where, Joe, I think I told you this before, but me and this friend of mine made like fake guitars out of like wood and like broomsticks and shit, kind of imposter style, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I made a cassette off of my record of Unmasked, and we took this little boombox and these fake guitars, and we had these girls meet us at this little like amphitheater stage, and we rocked out Tomorrow and like Two Sides of the Coin and shit with
air, nice,
with like fake guitars, and the chicks were like totally wigging out and loving it. And this was before I even had a real guitar, so it's just one of those funny stories I'll never forget.
That is awesome. I love that.
When I think about Unmasked, I kind of always remember back to like how goofy of a kid I must have been, you know? Because we thought we were so cool. It wasn't like we were doing
cool
it to be funny. We thought it was fucking rad, you know? Come watch us rock out, you know?
I have this visual in my head of you doing it, and it's totally cool.
I'm sure it's pretty comical if we had, like, footage of it. But, yeah. I was that weirdo little Kiss freak.
So let me tell you, I looked it up, and because I love this record so much, I want to look at certain things. So they released it in May, of May 20th, 1980, right? Okay. The album's 40 minutes long, which is kind of long.
Yeah, compared to like something like Dressed to Kill, definitely.
Yeah. One of the other things that I noticed when I was looking at the track listing, right?
Yeah.
Was only Ace's songs are written just Ace.
Yeah, all the rest have Poncio on them, right? Poncio.
Yeah.
Did we ever determine how we were going to say it? Is it Poncio? I think it's
Poncio. Except, of course, Is That You, which was written by somebody else.
Yeah.
Gerard McMahon.
Yeah. It's crazy, too, how many of these songs that Paul Stanley plays the solos on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's on a bunch of them.
And they're good solos too.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're really good solos. When I found out that Paul had played some of them, I'm like, oh man, he should have played more solos.
Totally. I mean, it's hard to kind of argue with if Ace was wanting to do it, go ahead and let Ace do it. But Paul could have been a lead guitar player if he wanted to be.
Yeah. It charted number one in New Zealand and on the new Norwegian chart. Which is pretty interesting. Australia was number three. Austrian chart, it was number three. In the U.S., it was 35. Still, top 40 is always good. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Especially back then. If you made the top 40, you were selling lots of records.
Totally. Yeah, it's just like, it's just such a weird time in history because, you know, as everybody knows, they were pretty much dead in the water here in the States. But elsewhere, they're the Beatles still, you know? I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love everything about the Australian tour and all the footage you can find on YouTube. It's just so cool. It's my favorite shit to, like, look at besides the vintage shit, the little bit of it that we can watch, you know?
Yeah, man. God, there should be more.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah. We always need more, but
I just watched the Sydney show because I got Kissology too.
Yeah,
so I just watched it. Man, Paul sounds great now. Everything's seems a little faster. But and Ace's solos, he messes up sometimes, but that's Ace. But Paul sounds unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really had it going on. And you know what? And I forgot to mention this. I'm sorry. But I think that also in that interview, Gene mentioned Kissology 4, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that interview with Michael, so... I'll try to find it and post it on our Facebook page. You know, every once in a while, I put my profile picture on my Facebook page is when I was a little kid, you know, waiting to go to camp that day. And I'm wearing my Peter Criss on a Motorcycle t-shirt.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Just knew that in 2 weeks, he'd have the new Kiss record.
That's the damn truth.
That's dedication, dude.
Oh man, I didn't want to go, but it was like, I guess that's just what's gonna happen.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do to get that record, man.
Yeah. So it went gold in the United States, 500,000 copies sold. Canada was 50,000. That's what their gold is.
You know what's funny is like, this one's considered one of the failures, and it went gold, 500,000 copies. They would fucking kill to have that right now on a new Kiss
record. Yeah. Yeah, most people would.
Yeah. Totally.
All right, so check this out.
What you
Rolling
got?
Stone magazine gave it 1 star.
We forget those guys. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They don't matter. Never did.
Some magazine called Sputnik Music gave it 4. They knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, no kidding.
4 out of 5 or 4 out of 10?
4 out of 5.
Right on. Then that's not so bad. I don't know, man. Yeah. It's just one of those records that, you know, to all of us, I guess, that are involved with this today, it kind of has like a sentimental spot because of what it meant to us at the time. And we got it pretty early in our Kiss fandom, you know?
Yeah, man, it just was good. So, you know, all the songs are good, and we're going to get to them, but let's also talk about the amazing painted cover. The cover is so great.
Yeah, it's really good.
And the poster on the inside, now, everybody knows that, you know, Peter's winking.
Right.
You know, but most people, you know, in this interview that I heard with the artist, he talked about the fact that he had Peter winking, because that was his way of letting everybody know that, you know, Peter wasn't on the album.
Right.
And it kind of became like Kiss's Paul Barefoot, you know.
Black Rose or the...
Yeah, yeah.
All the Sgt. Pepper's shit where Paul's dead and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So...
It's fascinating.
Now, I will tell you that this guy had... Have you ever heard Matt Porter talk about the guys... The painter's museum or whatever, he has like a showroom or something, and I think Matt Porter said he went
and he has the original there.
That, and he has the unfolded versions
of like the poster and shit.
So you can buy the poster and it's not folded.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
That was one of those posters that if you had that record, it was on your fucking wall, you know.
It was on the wall, man. Heck yeah. It's on my wall now. Except it's in a frame.
Have you ever noticed that the artist just took the Dynasty poster and used those faces and painted them? And then,
yeah.
Except for Gene looks a little different. But a long time ago, I superimposed the actual Dynasty photos of their face into the unmasked poster. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't even tell. It's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. I need to see that. I don't think I ever saw that.
I'll have to, I'm sure I could dig it up in my... Kiss photo art shit files.
Yeah.
I'll send it your way.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. So, that's right.
Late Joe. Hey. I love it.
Yeah. It's like, well, where Sonny is, see, I'm ahead. I'm in the future an hour for Jody and 3 hours for Sonny. So I'm all messed up at nighttime. So, and for you and for Jody, this is like, first thing in the morning.
This is like mid-afternoon to me.
Yeah.
10:30 at night.
Yeah. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm just stretching, and I get a message. Bing! Jody Havnot has tagged you on Twitter. I'm like, damn, he's still up. It's like seven in the morning. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
Let your backbone slip here on Podcast Rock City. Yeah!
All right, so let's talk about the track listing because, I mean, damn.
Right.
Now, do you guys think that there's a bad song? Which songs don't you like? Let's start with that.
I like them all, but if I had to pick like the weakest track, I'd probably have to go with something like maybe Torpedo Girl, even though I like it, you know. But
Blasphemy.
I don't think it's as strong as a lot of the other ones. Or maybe You're All That I Want. It's kind of a little weaker in my opinion. But all the rest of them fucking rule. But I do wish they would have... I don't really care for this version of Is That You? Because I think it sounds better live, a little bit faster, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds a little, like, just a little draggy on the record, I think. But when I was a kid, I didn't think so. I thought it pretty much rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Sonny?
I would say the one that I could do without is You're All That I Want. That's the one that kind of gets to me a little bit. Although I like the... like vocal gymnastics thing they do at the end that Paul's doing at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I love Is That You? And I don't know if you've ever heard the original demo version by McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a really raspy voice. I'm surprised they didn't hand it to Gene instead.
Yeah, or Peter Criss. I guess he was totally checked out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter was getting married or something.
He's with a copper tone model, living in a
copper tone model. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't even. There's no weak song on this album to me. It's like I put it on, drop the needle, track one, boom, half the side, flip the record, turn it over. I will never skip a song on this record. It's not. There's no Beths.
Right.
I mean, in my favorite song, I mean, shoot, Is That You? Naked City.
Hell yeah.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's so fucking great.
Yeah. Torpedo Girl, like, I don't know, man. It's just a great record. It should get way more credit, and I'm waiting to see if they're going to, they don't have to, for the Kiss crews, they don't have to dress like that. But, man, that'd be great if they would just do some songs off this record.
Yeah.
Problem is, Paul hates this record. He's said it tons of times.
Well, what the hell does he know?
He still gives Shandy some love, though, dude. Right?
Yeah,
that's true, yeah.
I love the Paul songs on this album.
I do, too.
And I love Paul's solo album, and this, to me, is just an extension between Dynasty to Unmasked. I'm like, man, he had enough for two solo albums.
Totally.
But I don't know if he could sing stuff anymore. But, you know, these are awesome songs.
Yeah. Naked City, you know, Gene Simmons and Poncia and Kulik and Pepe Castro and everybody wrote on that damn thing.
Bob has always said that he liked what he had going before, and he doesn't like the Kiss version that much. He kind of said that Kiss ruined it, remember?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I like to hear it before, you know. What did it sound like, you know?
Yeah. Gene sounds great in that song, man.
Oh, yeah. Should we just run through the track listing or what?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Is That You? Perfection, I think, when you listen to that song, man.
Yeah, I like that one. As I said before, I think it could use a little tempo, because I do prefer it. Even on that Sydney show, I think it sounds way cooler. But when I was a kid, I fucking loved it. I thought it was cool. Kind of more edgy than any of the Kiss shit, you know, the old Kiss shit previous.
Right, yeah. What do you think, Sonny?
Catchy, catchy, catchy. Right, and sometimes I think in most of this album, I probably feel the same way, is let's say it's not Kiss. Let's say there's no makeup, no hoopla. There's mega hits on this if it's not labeled Kiss and the Demon and all this crazy stuff that they got going with it. This is a great song.
You're probably right. You're probably right. You know, Shandy, it was a hit everywhere else. But why? Because people would play it. If they played it here, It would have been a hit. It was a big song. You know, hell, in Australia, people started naming their daughters Shandy.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's really crazy.
Their name starts with an S, ends with an I. Love that shit.
What about the video? The video with the stalker chick.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Peter Criss's last appearance with the band and makeup until the Grammys, I guess.
Yeah, 96. So what about? The story is that he did the video, and then when it was all over, he bounced, and that was it.
That was it. Packed up his makeup and shit and dipped.
That must have been so uncomfortable. And when you watch the video, when they show close-ups, he's all right. But when you can see him in the background, he's like hitting cymbals at the wrong time and shit. <It's>
Probably never heard the song until he got there that day.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't provide him with the sheet music in advance.
Yeah, because he could read sheet music, you know.
Yeah.
I love that story in Paul's book where they try to give Peter a second chance. He's like, I'm going to need all your songs on sheet music.
Can you imagine? He brought in a stand.
Songs that he had already played on and, you know, that he wrote the drum parts to. I'm going to need it on sheet music now, fellas. He was out of control.
Out of control. That's pretty, he should name a record that. All right. Talk to me. Great Ace song, except live on that box set. I can't stand me. Talk to me. Please stop.
Hell yeah. This was one of the greatest. This song was actually a hit elsewhere as well. You know, it was a single and kicked ass and still does. It's probably my favorite Ace song.
Yeah. And I actually have seen, I remember watching like Entertainment Tonight. And they were talking about two actors or something meeting for the first time in the story. And Talk to Me was the song that was playing as like the under, you know, music. And I remember going, wow, that's crazy.
That is crazy. You know, Paul really liked this song as well. He's real happy with that song. Like if you listen to the old commentary on Kissology, he even talks about it. How he was like totally all about Ace coming out with these killer songs. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One of Ace's best guitar solos too.
Yeah, I like that solo.
Yeah, it's not his normal thing either.
Yeah, no, it was very different than, you know, of course we'll get to Torpedo Girl, which is even more bizarre.
Yeah.
But okay, next song, Naked City. For me, by just maybe a half a point, might be the best song on the record.
Yeah.
To me, yeah.
I would say it's definitely the best Gene one, but I don't know about if it's the best on the record. I
don't know. Such a, you know.
Oh, and hey, Sonny, thanks for that cover, dude. I like that.
Oh, yeah. It was a good cover, right? I mean, you did a good job with it.
Yeah, it's real heavy.
Yeah.
Sounds real good. Did you listen to that one, Joe?
Well, no, I forgot all about it. Who was it again?
Jorn. J-O-R-N. Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing it down now.
I stuck a sample in that episode, too.
And, you know, I'm not a huge musician. I'm just a fan. But I think he even does a little bit of a key change.
He does.
In the last chorus. Yeah.
Goes up.
Yeah.
Step. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
It's really good. It's a good cover.
Yeah, man. You know, now when I picked last Kiss Cruise, when I got to pick the songs I wanted to hear, I picked Naked City, and I talked to quite a few people that said Naked City, but they didn't play it, and that made me wonder if they were even looking at the list or.
They don't play it because Gene can't sing that high anymore, probably.
I don't know, man.
At the end of that, he's railing, dude. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Totally balls out. Because he couldn't even do the part of Rock and Roll Hell on the boat, you know.
Well, what about when we did didn't they do Watching You and he did that really high pitched scream?
When on the boat? I don't know.
Uh-huh. I'm going to have to look it up.
You were there, so you tell me.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
But
has he been doing Naked City on a solo tour?
Nope. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it the whole time, just with fingers crossed and yelling it and shit. Everyone's looking at me like, hey, dude. And I kept going, Naked City.
What if you'd have carried a sign?
Yeah, I should have.
Held it up and it said, Naked City. Then maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. That's a dreaming.
You never know, man.
All right, what makes the world go round?
Dude, I love this one.
Yeah, I know you do. It is a very good song.
I think that the verses and shit are a little stronger than the actual chorus, but I still love it. I think Paul sounds really freaking good on those verses.
Radio hit.
Totally.
That song rocks.
Yeah. Radio hit.
Power pop at its best, man.
Dude.
What is wrong with these people? How come they drop the ball so much?
Because Kiss did a dynasty right before this, and everyone was turned off. People don't want Kiss go.
Yeah, man, but you know how to get... You know, back in the 80s and in the 70s, the way to get somebody to play your record was to drop a little coke in that thing and send it on the way and open it up and go, oh, look, it's a hit.
Well, they might have, but maybe Ace or Peter got to the frickin' albums before they mailed them, so they thought they were sending out the coke, but unfortunately, they got to it first. I think that it's really just the fact that between the frickin' solo albums, Kiss Meets the Phantom, Oversaturation, and then into Dynasty, where all these little kids, like you and I mean, it just wasn't cool to like Kiss, and the radio didn't even like them when they were cool, supposedly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even at their height with Love Gun and shit, they weren't played on the radio.
Yeah, we couldn't even get them on the cover of Rolling Stone.
None of that shit matters, though, dude, because they still are around and they still are bigger than most bands, and they didn't even need any of that shit. Same with Metallica, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Metallica got a cover, though.
Yeah, well.
Let's see. Tomorrow, love the song.
Oh, hell yeah. This is my favorite song on the album. I've always loved it. Still love it. I think that they should do it live. And it's just one of those unsung, just killer Kiss song.
Man, I just start thinking about this record. And it's like, what was wrong with these people? And I'm not even talking. I mean, just come on. It's like, how? I don't care about Oversaturation, man. What about Justin fucking Bieber and shit like that? You know, it's too much of him. But they'll play his shit on the radio, you know?
Yeah, the other part is.
Yeah, the other part that drives me nuts is, why didn't the Bryan Adams, the Hall & Oates, those guys, like, dip into this record and put this stuff out in the mid-80s and make them hits? So people would have heard them.
Completely possible.
Something like Tomorrow could easily have been a hit if Rick Springfield would have done it, you know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah! Could have been in the movie. It could have been on the movie soundtrack. Crazy.
Yeah. It's just because it was Kiss, people, you know, it was like a stigma. You can't play these makeup clowns. You know what I mean? It's just unfair, but whatever.
Yeah. They're Kiss still... are pretty cool for a bunch of mimes.
Yeah. The loudest mimes I ever heard.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, boy.
All right. Two sides of the coin.
I like this one. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Another good Ace song, man.
Choose one.
Yeah.
I'm glad Anton was playing drums, because the drums on this song are awesome, and I'm not sure Peter could have done what Anton was doing.
No.
Nah. That could be said for anything that Anton really did in Kiss.
Yeah.
Even on Ace's solo record. There's no way.
Yeah, two different styles of drummer, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
Not to take anything away from the Catman, but Anton's technically, you know,
a beast.
Head and shoulders above.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's kind of weird? You know, every time Ace does something, he never gets a drummer that plays like Peter Criss. He always gets like a badass Anton or someone that is very technical and always allows a lot of space for killer drum fills and all that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, but you know what? The thing is, if you go back and you listen to Peter's solo albums, he never gets anybody like Ace.
True. I think the biggest disappointment in Peter Criss's records is not even that it's not heavy. It's just that when a drummer does a record, you would think that he'd do all kinds of killer drum shit, you know? you think that Peter at least have one track where it's just like he's going fucking off, you know? But there's nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. He's just playing the simplest, you know, 4/4. That's it. And that's kind of a disappointment. Anyways, that's totally off the subject.
Yeah, no, it's true. All right, number 8, She's So European.
It's okay, right? A lot of keyboards, almost like they're trying to soften Gene up a little bit.
Yeah. You know, Gene Simmons on the commentary track to Kissology, he's like, Kiss should never have written a song called She's So European. He's like, this should have stayed with the demos, like My Uncle's a Rat is a Raft and shit. Did you notice that? So it's like, Gene isn't really too proud of this one. So if you look at that like video from Germany and turn the commentary on, you can hear Gene talk about how he thinks it sucks. But I think he's wrong. I like this song.
Yeah, I think he's wrong.
I really do like this song. And, you know, I think that maybe if I heard it a little bit later in my Kiss fandom, I would have thought it was a little bit worse. But since I heard it so early on, this record really can't do much wrong to me, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just a bit biased.
I think the other weird thing is, the whole demon, the tongue wagging as he's doing that show, that lip sync show thing they were doing on whatever that was on the Kissology video, it just doesn't, like, the demon thing doesn't work with a soft song. With Naked City, it probably would have worked. With this, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, a demon really shouldn't know about, like, countries. He should just be like, this is my planet.
He shouldn't know about countries. Where am I again?
Or pink champagne or any of that shit. But that said, I really do like the song. I think that, you know, I think this whole album, we always say this, but if they would just remaster it, remix it the way they did with, you know, Destroyer Resurrected, and just kind of maybe just axe all those keys all together, or just bring them down and turn the guitars up a bit, this album would be so heavy, you know, it could be. But those keyboards are a little distracting, I think.
Yeah. The production's so bright and happy, though. Like, if I have a tough day, I can put this album on and, like, be happy.
Right on.
I hear that.
I can, too, man. A lot of up-tempo, you know, it's not so much heavy, it's more just up-tempo pop, like power pop rock, which is kind of one of the things I love. So, yeah, I love this album. And most of these songs. Yep. What about the next one, Joe?
Isn't it crazy how we've talked about how much we love this record through the whole thing? I love this record. All right, Easy As It Seems.
I love this one too, man. I mean, killer bass line played by Paul Stanley. And it's awesome. Totally awesome. It's hard to do a review when you love something so much.
Between the bass, the keyboard, the great solo, the catchy tune, you got this balance of rock and power pop. Dude, this is one of the best Kiss songs I think there is.
Yeah? I've never heard anyone say that. I dig it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good one. You know, Paul played the lead on this one, too. And it's a pretty weird one. What about those? The keys in this one, though, are definitely too loud in that, like, solo break. It's a little much.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the song, man. You know, I could listen. There's no bad songs on this record to me, man. I would sound like a broken record if somebody just sat me down and said, track one, what do you think? Awesome. Track two, awesome. Track three, awesome.
I think that's why we've been talking about this record off for so long, because we knew that we're going to just be like, I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. It's like, you know, and the thing is, you know, it's not heavy like, you know, Creatures or Love Gun but it's just got that something. It's like, for me, it's like they perfected Dynasty. The songwriting, I think, is better too. I don't know. It's just me, but
I think so too, man. I mean, there's a lot of great songs on here. Okay, so what do you think of Torpedo Girl then?
Okay, Torpedo Girl. When you hear it, you go, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, man, Gene is killing it on bass. It wasn't until I got older that somebody said, man, that's not Gene, that's Ace.
Totally.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense. And you know what else? There's Roto Toms in the drums. What's happening?
It's definitely one of Ace's, like, most complicated licks. It's a weird-ass lick. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, the bass?
No, just the guitar part was like...
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Now, he has... Now, Ace likes those walking riffs, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely an odd one.
But this one is completely different, you know? It's different. But such a good, fun song. So strange. You know, that Ace did a surfer song and shit.
Could this be a dream?
I don't know. But, but yeah. I mean, the bass line. Every once in a while when I'm sitting alone in my classroom and I got my bass out, man, I start playing that.
Dude, totally.
No, just... Yeah, just so you know, nobody's ever knocked on my door and said, "Hey, man, are you playing Torpedo Girl?"
No, they just think you're playing some funk.
They think I'm awesome.
Yeah, dude, it's a cool lick.
It's a cool lick. Yeah, man, if you turn that song on right now and you listen to it, it just makes you smile because it's just so...
Yeah, it's like one of the goofier Kiss songs, but it's like has this special little spot because of that, you know?
I wonder if at this point in Ace Frehley's life, had he ever actually even been in the ocean?
That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. We know Paul was. Paul definitely was.
Yeah. Yeah, he almost died.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
He had to pee on his foot.
Totally. Torpedo Girl. I love that. Remember the old KST breakdown of this one? It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, last song. You're All That I Want. Now, on Wikipedia, right?
Okay.
They do credit. It says Peter Criss played drums on this.
What?
It says Peter Criss drums.
Yeah.
Well, wait, hold on. Maybe it says Peter Criss drums credit only. That must mean he just got credited but didn't play.
Yeah, it's just like on the back of the record, drums, Peter Criss.
Yeah. Additional musicians. Anton Figg, Vinny Poncia, or Poncia. Tom Harper, Holly Knight, keyboards on Shandy.
That's pretty cool.
Tom Harper said played guitar, bass guitar on Shandy.
Yeah. That was like Paul's guitar tech at the time, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So what about the tour, man? It was so... I'm in love with, like, all that Australian footage, man. It's like a second peak for Kiss, you know? It's like 78. It's kind of like the zenith or whatever. But then they kind of fell off. But by 80 in Australia and New Zealand and everywhere, they're fucking huge. It's just so exciting. And for them, it was like, you know, a second coming in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And, you know... right after this, you know, was when they got the People magazine cover.
Yeah,
with Eric.
Yeah, so this is Eric's first tour, so there's a lot of excitement in the band, right?
Yeah, you know, people are going, all right, I got a new drummer, you know, I got a new character, you know, and they introduced them, you know, big, you know, it wasn't, you know, they made a spectacle of it, you know?
Yeah, big time. Like, the Palladium gig was like, I don't know how many people, 1,000 people or something, packed in to see
it. Yeah.
Have you ever heard that? I heard somewhere that at that show, like, since the ceiling was so low, like, Gene was going to try to fly, but since he couldn't, he just, like, swung across the stage like a trapeze artist kind of thing.
Now, okay, but yeah, Disney, he does that. On the he does that on the Australian video. He goes from one side of the stage to the other side of the stage.
I didn't notice that. On which one? Like the Sydney thing?
Yeah, if you watch, even if you watch the what's it called? The Inner Sanctum?
Yeah, I just watched that the other night after we talked about it.
Yeah. If you watch it, man, at least it looks like he's going from one side of the stage to the other.
I guess I wasn't paying much attention.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
That Sydney show, man, the energy. Ace seems so happy.
Oh, he was happy.
Surprising that he's gone so yeah. soon afterwards.
No, oh, he yeah. was happy. That's the thing, you know. He was happy. He wanted to be in KISS at that point. He was glad Peter was gone. As sad as that sounds, he probably missed his friend, but, you know, he was happy, you know. I don't know. It just, you know, everybody, all the books that you read, they talk about it. It was like it breathed new life in the totally. Ace.
Totally. It's because he likes a more technical drum style, I think.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun again, you know?
Plus, they were having another high plateau, you know, so you can't help but be happy after probably feeling a little weird when Dynasty, when they weren't selling like they used to, you know? So then by 80, the next year, they're seeing those massive crowds and they're being treated like the Beatles again, so that probably had a little bit to do with it, you think?
Yeah, I mean, you watch that video footage of them, you know, outside on that, you know, like, it's not a ledge, like, but, you know, where all the balcony and all those fans are waiting, or down there just screaming for them, and you look at the crowd, and it's just intense, man.
It's awesome.
You know, that what would they say? They couldn't leave? They couldn't do anything that, you know...
It's just like Kisteria all over again. It's too cool.
It was, you know?
It's one of my favorite eras, dude, for those exact reasons. Like, if you watch that, just some of the news footage, like that Melbourne footage, you know, from the same tour, they were saying, you know, 45,000 people. And before the show, all those kids, like, had this massive, like, food fight kind of thing. Have you seen that?
No.
Dude, you got to look it up on YouTube. Like, just Kiss Australia 1980, and there's so much shit, and it's just so cool, dude. You can really go down the old rabbit hole, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite eras. Because I think that they sound fucking great live again. And in Dynasty, they sound like complete ass. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah,
I love it. I just love it. But anyway, sorry about that, Sonny.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. The other thing I was noticing is with Eric, it's not like they told him, hey, you got to play it exactly like the album. No crazy stuff. They let him go off a little bit. He sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I love what Eric did.
I don't have any complaints. Eric got in the band and took Peter's ideas and made them his own.
And really made them, like, so much more solid and heavy, you know? Without doing the whole double bass thing too much, like maybe Eric Singer might have at first, you know? But it was definitely, like, an updated rock sound, a little bit more modern compared to Peter Criss, wouldn't you say? I mean, those results speak for themselves on that Sydney show. You could see it plain as day. It fucking rocks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I guess that's Unmasked, huh?
I love this record, man. And all the people that slag it, I think they're just a little bit off.
Yeah, put it back on, listen to it again, and really listen. You know, it's just written so well, and, you know, I don't know. They did everything right, you know. The cover's beautiful, you know.
Songs are pretty nice. That's a great package, man. Dude. You mean the poster, the killer album art, you know, the songs, the order form's pretty cool. You could get some old, you know, killer deals back in the day. And,
I didn't see any expiration date. I need to fill it out and send it in. See what happens.
What's interesting is people say that they love Ace's solo album, that they love Paul's solo album, but you ask the same people if they like Unmasked, they say no. But the songs on here would have fit on those two solo albums.
Absolutely.
Perfectly.
I think Jeans would fit right on his as well. I mean, something like Naked City or, you know, I mean... Obviously, You're All That I Want have been around since, like, the 70s, you know? You've heard that old demo.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just there's no Peter songs, which is fine with me.
That's pretty strange, though, you know, when you listen to it, there's no Peter song.
Yeah, it's the first Kiss record without one, isn't it?
Yeah, extra ace.
Well, Alive 2 doesn't have a Peter Criss vocal on the studio side. You know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it's still, even without a Peter Criss song, it's still a pretty strong record. I do wonder sometimes, like, if I had gotten this, like, one of the last Kiss records I ever had or something, I wonder if it kind of hold the same, like, spot in my heart, you know? I'm curious, but I guess I'll never know.
Aren't you glad that it happened the way it did, though?
Yeah, I really am attached to this record, man.
Me too. You heard my story. Anyway, all right, so thank you guys for doing the show with me tonight, and appreciate it. Thank you, Sonny, for coming on with us again.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I talk Kiss anytime, but you're going to pick one of my favorite albums. That's a double bonus.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't even know that when I sent you that message earlier. I was like, who can we get? Because obviously D-Rock had to, you know, he can't be on right now. So I'm like, right. Who are we going to have? We got to find one of our buddies. And I was like, I'm going to see if Sonny could do it. But I didn't know you were big on Mask Guy. I just figured that you might even not like the record, since, like, a lot of the 80s, you know, non-makeup is a lot of your favorite shit. I didn't know if you would like Unmasked, but
oh yeah,
I think it's pretty interesting and really cool that you do love it just as much as we do. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget, you can send us emails at podcastrockcity1. That's the number one at gmail.com.
I was waiting for Sonny to do it.
Anyway, okay, don't forget, you can also go to podcastrockcity.com. If you're a premium member, man, go check out that stuff I've been putting on. I put probably, I don't know, man, maybe 8 or 9 shows that I, a few that I did by myself back before I had anybody on the show with me, and then I had the 1-year anniversaries on there, and my Unmasked show is on there, and I'm just loading and loading and loading, and you can't get these shows anywhere else except in the premium section, so check that out. Jody, got anything to add?
I would add, hey, everyone, you know, thanks so much for listening. We're sorry that we're a day late, but, man, shit happens, dude. Sorry about that, but we got it for you today, so hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sonny, you got anything to add?
No, thanks a lot, guys, for another opportunity. I just tell people, keep music alive, keep buying physical product, because it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I get to my spiel, I want to say again, D-Rock, we love you.
Yeah.
You're in our prayers. We're thinking about you with your family. You know, these are hard times, but you're going to get through them.
Yep.
You know, we love you very much. You know that we are podcast fans, and we listen to Kiss podcasts as well as other kinds of podcasts. And you're going to hear all the commercials for the ones that we like right after this show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros, where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Yes! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new. What are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
I love you. Bye!